Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Peter Gajewski,
who will be conducting the National Philharmonic Sounds of New Orleans tribute to Louis Armstrong, the legend. It'll be Saturday, March 30th at the Music Center at Strathmore. Mr. Gajewski, thanks so much for taking the time to join us again.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fraley.
We had a blast when you came in. What was it? Last fall, we did an On the Waterfront Leonard Bernstein concert. How'd that go, by the way, before we jump in?
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, so we played for the movie, a live symphony orchestra with the film. It was great event.
Awesome. And I thoroughly enjoyed riffing on, you know, Brando and Kazan and everyone with you and Bernstein as well. So that was a treat for me. But all right, the reason we're here is for the Louis Armstrong show. So how exactly is this going to work? We have Byron Stripling on the trumpet. We have you conducting Philharmonic. What if our listeners show up, what are they going to see?
Well, it's a tribute to Louis Armstrong, so we're going to play a lot of the famous Louis Armstrong tunes, and no one better than Byron to bring that to life. I mean, he's played Louis Armstrong in theaters. He's plays his music. He popularizes his music. So that's where it's at.
So Byron will be there, and he's obviously, you know, an accomplished trumpeter, but is he also going to be singing the songs as well, or is it instrumental?
He does. He does the full thing. I mean, he's played the role of Louis Armstrong before.
So he goes into his satchmo.
So he gets to, he gets to do the famous songs. He sings them, and he plays the trumpet, and, you know, he's entertainer. He's the real deal.
Now, that's one of the most unique and I would say challenging voices to try to, you know, recreate in music history. So but he's got it down.
Well, I mean, he sings it the way he sings it. He makes it his own. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was a very unique voice. So but Byron makes it his own, and it's a great show.
Awesome. All right. Well, you mentioned you're going to play some of the signature Louis Armstrong hits. What sort of pieces do we have?
Well, of course, What a Wonderful World. And
that's my mom's favorite song. Did you know that?
I did.
It is. I did. How do you know that?
I don't know. You asked the question. I'll just find an answer.
That's so great. All right. What else? What else?
Well, When the Saints Go Marching In. He's got the whole world in his hands. St. Louis Blues. And that's actually an interesting one. So I got to tell you this story. So this season, we're celebrating centennial of Leonard Bernstein, right? The whole season. And actually, Bernstein and Armstrong worked together. They did this fabulous concert, 21,000 people in the audience at the Lewisohn Stadium. In New York, and this was like in 1956. So this was when Bernstein was in his 30s, and Armstrong was also young enough. Armstrong brought his sort of all-star musicians, Bernstein brought in members of the New York Philharmonic, and the piece that they played together was the St. Louis Blues with W.C. Handy, who is the composer, in the audience.
Wow.
So this
talk about a room full of legends.
Yeah. So this is like a thing. And then you can actually see this on YouTube. You can just go on YouTube and you Google Bernstein and Armstrong, and there's, you know, obviously black and white, very old film footage. But they filmed it because they were filming it for a reason. They're including in some other presentation. Then they go on and they start sort of loving on each other, and Bernstein says all these great things about Armstrong, and Armstrong says all these great things about Bernstein. It's a really, really cool moment. So, you know, so here we are, more than half a century later, and I, as student of Bernstein, get to work with Byron Stripling, who is a disciple, in essence, of Louis Armstrong.
So, and you're a disciple of Bernstein. And remind our listeners, you trained under him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a cool concert for me, and I hope for Byron as well.
Remind our listeners, if they missed our last interview, how your connection to Bernstein.
So my connection to Bernstein was as a conducting fellow at Tanglewood, one of three conducting fellows in 1983, chosen through an audition. There's some 150 of us auditioning, and that's when I got to meet him and study with him the summer of 1983, and he was a big, big influence.
Awesome. And also, beyond studying with a legend like that, you've been with Philharmonic basically from the beginning. You helped put it together, right? Explain your connection, how long you've been with them.
Well, so this is a group that has modest roots in Montgomery County. It's started off as Montgomery Chamber Orchestra, later became National Chamber Orchestra. When Strathmore was built, and now this is, Strathmore was opened in 2005, so we're going almost on 15 years, we became the National Philharmonic and became the resident orchestra there. And I've been with the group through all that. And the fabulous hall to perform in, and fabulous hall to perform this kind of pops concert in. I mean, you can really get the audience involved with singing, with the clapping, with the trumpet orchestra. Very, very cool environment.
Now it's not the, I don't want to say it's the first pops concert, but it's definitely a little bit of more outside of what you guys usually play to do a pop show like this, right?
A little bit. We've got some actually planned that I can't go public with yet for next year.
Ooh, that's a teaser.
There you go.
Stay tuned.
There you go. I'll be back, and you'll love it. You personally will love this.
Ooh, okay. All right.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to play good music, and that's actually another thing that Bernstein and Armstrong shared. I mean, you know, Armstrong, you go into his record collection. He like listened to Rachmaninoff. What they shared is they talked about there's good music, there's bad music, and it cuts across all genres,
right,
of music. So that's what we're into. We're into playing good music for the great audiences of this area, you know, Washington metropolitan area, regardless of what it is. We play, of course, we can't focus on what's sometimes referred to as classical music,
sure.
But we play all kinds of different music, and this is just our little venture into jazz.
I love it. We're talking about the founding and, you know, the type of music you play. How would you compare yourself in being different from NSO?
Yes.
Well, you know, I want to draw a distinction for our listeners. They hear the NSO concerts at Wolf Trap Kennedy Center, and then they see you guys, the Philharmonic at Strathmore. What do you think differentiates the two?
Let me start this way. The Music Center at Strathmore is hands down the best concert hall in the Washington area.
Boom. Mic drop.
Exactly. So, and it's not because of accident, and it's not because of some necessarily special sauce. It's simply because it was done in 2005, which is very recently, and the field of acoustics has advanced, and now concert halls are built in a certain way. And it's very similar to, let's say, the Disney Hall in Los Angeles in terms of its shape, in terms of how it's constructed. So it's acoustically a fantastic hall to experience music in. So when people come to our concerts, I mean, they tell us that. They go to other concert halls in Washington. I won't mention by name, but they tell us they have a fantastic experience. They feel like they're surrounded by the music rather than the music being a little bit distant. Having said that, one of the other things that we do is we also really play to the local community. And we are located in the northwest chunk, D.C. chunk of our world. Mm-hmm. The Music Center of Strathmore is in Montgomery County specifically. So we're able to really listen to what the community wants and the kinds of concerts and be very much responsive. For example, we play concerts for all second graders in Montgomery County. That's about 12,000 second graders every single year. So we've now played for close to, I think, 200,000 kids. Another thing that we do is almost all of our concerts are free to kids. So we call this all kids, all free, all the time. So even though we're a professional symphony orchestra and our typical tickets are in the $50, $60 range, although they start at, in the 20s, but for kids, most concerts are free. So we do, different things. We try and be very much in the weeds in the community and serve our community.
Awesome. Pivoting it back around to bringing it full circle back around to Louis Armstrong. What would you say his lasting legacy is in the music landscape beyond the music itself? I mean, he probably was one of the first African-American musicians that really would, I guess, crossed over into mainstream.
Yes.
In the 20s, probably.
Yes, maybe. I mean, no, there are others. The turn of the century. You know, there's so many musicians that we don't talk about. There's a woman, for example, Florence Price, whose music is now being rediscovered, whose first symphony was premiered by the Chicago Symphony around the turn of the century. And there are many others, but you asked me about Louis Armstrong specifically. So there are a couple of things that he really pioneered. One of the things, when you think about it, he came out of the jazz tradition of basically group playing, multiple players playing together. That sort of thing. He became a trumpet soloist. So he's like one of the first jazzers and certainly first jazz trumpet player to step in front of a band and be featured as a soloist. So that was a big thing. He wasn't the first scat singer, but he was one of the first scat singers and popularized that. So that as well. And you said about him crossing over. Yes, he became very much accepted all over the world. I mean, he toured in Europe several times. He toured all over America, and this was at a time where African Americans were still struggling more than they do now. This is before the civil rights era. So, absolutely transforming figure in the history of music.
Awesome. And in terms of that New Orleans sound that we're celebrating, explain the, you know, musicality-wise, instrument-wise, what makes, you know, explain to our listeners that maybe aren't, you know, music buffs, what that New Orleans sound involves.
Well, it starts with the blues It starts with the instruments that are involved. I mean, it's usually a banjo involved. There's usually a trumpet, trombone, a clarinet, and a lot of improvisation, which was just having its birth at that time. And by the way, Byron is a fabulous improviser. So bringing it back to Byron, a super trumpet player. I mean, Byron himself toured with the Count Basie Orchestra. And he's worked with people like Dizzy Gillespie and Woody Herman, and he's just top of the line. So we're just thrilled he'll be playing with us.
Awesome. All right, and I know prices range, I believe, $10 for kids and up to $72 on the higher end for the nicer seats. So everybody come check it out. Again, it's Saturday, March 30th at Strathmore National Philharmonic. Sounds of New Orleans, tribute to Louis Armstrong. Peter Gajewski. Closing words, why should they come?
Byron Stripling.
Two words. Boom. That's all you need to know.